Ben, financial advisors say prospects for an economic rebound over the next 5 years don't look so good. That news came out of a Ben Financial retreat on Friday. The major concerns are infrastructure and public safety, both of which will have to make some serious reductions. An article in the Bulletin says the city has more than $200 million in infrastructure projects, both federally mandated and recommended, that may not be affordable without major increases in utility rates. Ben Police Chief Jeff Sale and Ben Fire Chief Larry Hune say they will also have to revise how and when they respond to calls because they will not be adding staff. Meantime, three structure fire calls occurred within 4 hours yesterday, along with a wire fire and a medical call. That flurry of activity stretched Ben's emergency response system to the breaking point. Ben City Council discussed the public safety staffing issue with the city's fire and police chiefs as recently as Friday at that budget planning retreat. Acting Battalion Chief Don Siegel says the presence of five fire stations full of equipment in Bend is deceptive.
We've got five stations. 16 people are minimum staffing. So probably for 95% of the time, we have three men in each station. So you'll see at any station, five, six rigs in that station. And if one of those rigs is gone, chances are the crew is gone because there's only one crew in each station to take that rig out.
Siegel says the public sometimes forgets that Bend Fire provides such things as ambulance service, vehicle extrication units, and water rescue. Service workers at St. Charles will vote in 2 weeks whether or not to keep their union. 1110 KBND's Kelly Blyer talked with a hospital worker about the upcoming vote.
Service workers narrowly voted to unionize a year ago, but have been unable to reach a contract with the hospital. Chris Buck has worked as a tech in the emergency room for 6 years. He voted against the union a year ago and will again when they vote.
We are a hospital divided when it comes to our service employees. I think people feel so passionate about this issue that they're willing to forego personal relationships, which to me, you know, that shouldn't even be an option. I've tried to be open with everybody that, you know, I'm against this movement. However, I respect your right to want this and support this. But yeah, there definitely seems to be a division at work, unfortunately.
The hospital is looking to vote sometime during the week of March 19th. Kelly Blyer, News Talk 1110. KBND.
A spokesman with Serenity Lane says the economy may be playing a big role in drug addiction with people between the ages of 18 and 24. Jerry Jeswold says they're seeing more young people addicted to opiates and other drugs. He says triggers may be the higher jobless numbers for this age group or lower paying jobs coupled with more debt.
You know, you get young people that are going to college. In many cases, they're incurring, you know, a significant amount of debt. And though they're graduating with a degree and then going out and trying to apply that degree to a career that's going to give them a good financial foundation, in many cases, they're not being able to find that. And so they become pretty despondent and pretty dismayed in terms of their ability to pay back the loans.
He says another big trend with this age group is an addiction to prescription drugs that they may steal from their parents' medicine cabinets. A Wilsonville company will add jobs thanks to IKEA. 1110 KBND's Brad Ford reports.
Furniture manufacturer Mastercraft got a contract with IKEA last September to build furniture. They had 40 employees, but the number of orders has grown, and the company is adding 100 workers. They've also outgrown their facility in Wilsonville. They'll be opening a new building in Staten. The governor's Strategic Reserve Fund has given the company a $125,000 forgivable loan to help with the move. Mastercraft has been building furniture in Oregon since 1984.
In Portland, Brad Ford, 1110 KBND Radio News.
Governor John Kitzhaber has a new 10-year plan that he hopes will be able to reactivate green energy in Oregon. Wind and solar companies are not making much of a contribution to the state's energy needs despite the state's commitment to them. The plan features a laundry list of initiatives to take renewables, efficiency, and green transportation from the marginal to the mainstream. Ideas floated in a draft plan include a carbon tax, more energy from natural gas, smart grid improvements, and improvements to green transportation, including infrastructure for bicyclists. And Washington State drivers could legally use tire socks on the state's roads by next winter. That is, if the state patrol determines they are as effective as chains. The socks are a fabric cover that drivers can slip over tires to get better traction on snow and ice. OSP Lieutenant Greg Hastings says they're already legal in Oregon.
Because it doesn't specifically prohibit anything that's not metal seems at this point in time that it would fall under the definition and comply under Oregon law and be lawful to use on Oregon roads in those areas where chains would be required.
Truckers in Colorado are also allowed to use them instead of chains on their big rigs. Supporters say they cause far less